Hello. Oh, it feels good. It feels good to talk into this microphone again, even if it's for a very awkward reason, which is to say that the stuff you've probably seen about me on Twitter, and what a dangerous beginning to a sentence this is, but that stuff is true. I'm going to be moving on from ESPN Daily, and find me at Pablo Torre. I will explain there what I'm up to. And spoiler alert, I will ask you to subscribe to a newsletter. Because of course. But I will also be formally saying goodbye on one more episode before I go. Until then and otherwise, what you're going to get on this program is a bunch of new and different voices in the host chair. People who can steer the premier home for audio storytelling in sports. And it's going to be people like the guy in today's chair. Today's episode is going to be hosted by our friend and longtime ESPN writer, Dave Fleming. So, enjoy.
Maya Jones, I am so excited to talk to you today because you wrote one of my favorite pieces I've read recently. It's about LSU freshman basketball player Flauje Johnson. For folks who haven't heard of her, who is Flauje Johnson?
Flauje is a rapper. She has a distribution deal with Jay-Z's Roc Nation.
It's crazy. I'm the one they want to represent. Young black girl. I could probably be the president. I'm the voice of the youth. You hear my tone. I think it's evident.
She's a student athlete and not just a freshman. She's a starter for LSU and March Madness.
The rebound by Smith. Johnson into the front court will pull up for about a 30-footer. Yes, she got it.
She's also a businesswoman. She's navigating and negotiating her NIL deals. So she's handling her business on the court, off the court, making music, making deals. Every time I hear her name, I'm like, is there anything she can't do?
But before she became a phenom on the court, she was just a kid growing up in Savannah, Georgia. And your amazing piece, it captured what I think would become a defining moment in Flauje's young life. It's 2011. She's all of 8 years old. What happened next?
Yeah, around 8 years old is when she knew she wanted to rap.
I remember the whole thing. I can tell you what happened from the time I walked in to the time I left. So I'm 8 years old, 7, 8 years old. My mom throws these annual birthday parties for my dad, even though he passed away, and everybody comes. It's a big performance.
So Flauje's father, Jason Camouflage Johnson, he was a rapper, up and coming. He was known around Georgia. He was on the brink of signing a record deal with Universal Records right before he was murdered in 2003. But to honor his legacy and his life, the weekend of his birthday, they would have a big party and celebration in Savannah. Rappers coming to perform, and Flauje wanted to be one of those. So she went to her mom, Kia, and was like, hey, I want to rap. I want to perform at this party.
And I'm like, Mom, I want to go there. She was like, it's a club. You can't, what are you talking about? You're 7 years old. You cannot come. Like, I'm a rap. I'm going to go there and I'm a rap.
Her mom kind of looked at her and it's like, you're 8 years old? No way.
So she was like, Mama, y'all having this party. I want to go. I want to perform at this party. I was like, girl, you was not performing at this party. I said, you are a kid.
But she was persistent, and she enlisted the help of her uncle, Dominique, who's always had her back. Kia said, okay. Dominique helped with writing the lyrics. Flauje was ready. She basically prepped for this performance, and it was going to be her first one, so she wanted to be prepared.
Okay, we know she's a trendsetter, right? Because in 2011, at the age of 8, she's wearing Georgia Bulldog merch, right, on stage and just looks amazing. But what was her performance like? How would you describe it?
Of course. I mean, that outfit was iconic.
I got on these camouflage pants. I got the Georgia hat with the ponytail up top, big, long red socks. And I'm out there, and I'm with the mic in my hand. I got a glove on like Michael Jackson.
She was ready, wearing these stunner shades in a club at night. I mean, she was setting herself up already to be an icon. But the performance was so energetic. And it was interesting because they had to sneak her in a back door. into this club and set her in the dressing room with a bunch of snacks. They had other performers going on, and it's getting later into the night, around 10 or 11 p.m., and it's way past her bedtime. She's 8 years old.
Went to the club. It's probably 11 o'clock. I'm in the back, passed out. I'm sleeping. It was way past my bedtime. Like, I'm tired.
So she, like any other child, would probably took a nap.
So they wake me up, like, Flajay, it's time for you to perform. I'm like, what? So I just get up, I get in that mode. I'm like, all right, bet. I'm lit.
She describes herself as an energizer bunny, but she was so energetic, just moving from one side of the stage to the other, these curls that she has in her hair just bouncing up and down. The crowd is feeling the energy that she's giving off.
And I'm screaming like, yeah, yeah. Like, I'm 7 years old, a little kid, and everybody out there, they turning me up like I'm Nicki Minaj or something. They lit. And I just remember I performed my whole set. I ain't mess up no word.
And she performed multiple songs. Like, this was a full set for an 8-year-old. And to engage a crowd of teens and adults and have them doing whatever she says.
I was doing my little hand motions, turning up. Everybody was like, is she serious? Like, she really going in? Like, Shawty little, but she really turning up.
If she says, wave your hands in the air, they're waving their hands. If she says, jump up and down, they're bouncing. So I think it was cool to see her have that command of the room at such a young age.
It didn't matter about the song. It didn't matter about nothing. It was just like that fearlessness that I had. And that's how the whole thing started.
What did her father predict for her, and how did it kind of manifest in that performance?
Yeah, so when he found out that he was having a girl, he wanted to name her Flajay.
Well, I got my name from my dad. So his rap name, my dad's rap name is Camouflage. My name, Flajay. Flajay Monet. It rhymes, so I guess that's why he did it.
And he already knew that she was going to be a star. And she is. It's exactly as he predicted.
I just feel like it's my goal to fit, like, it's my duty to carry the torch and finish that legacy. So just continuing that legacy and making something bigger than anybody ever thought it could be.
Flajay Johnson is the multi-hyphenate rising star you probably haven't heard of. But after today's show, you will not be able to forget her. From buckets to bars to business, Flajay's empire is just getting started. So Maya Jones tells us everything that the 19-year-old SEC Freshman of the Year has accomplished so far, and her plans to take over the world. I'm David Fleming. It's Friday, March 24th. This is ESPN Daily.
When you're on a business trip, you know what completely goes off the rails? Your workout routine, especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups and sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up and power your buys and tries the right way or de-stress with some cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Okay, so Maya, as much as I want to talk about the music side, let's start with the basketball side of things first. Flajay Johnson is now a freshman at LSU. She's a guard on Kim Mulkey's Tiger squad, and they are playing Utah in the Sweet 16 tonight. What led her to choose LSU?
I think with LSU, they made it clear that she wouldn't have to choose between the passions that she has for basketball and music. So on her tour, they showed her the studio.
They took me to the studio. That was really it. That's all they had to do. You really showed me that they were invested in my music. Took me to the School of Music. They showed me that they was not only interested in my music, but in my basketball as well.
Kim Mulkey was very open to the idea of her being a rapper.
Most college students, they practice, they eat, they study, and go to bed. Flajay's just getting started when practice on the court is over, because if you ever go into her dorm room, you're just going to be witnessing what she does. She starts creating, you know, as they say, freestyling what she does away from basketball, and she's very good at it.
Other colleges and universities wanted her. They wanted that one piece of her. And I think it would be unfair to try to limit her creative talents on the court and as a rapper. And she doesn't want to choose. And she shouldn't have to. And I think LSU made that very clear that she wouldn't have to. Just as long as she's putting basketball first when she needs to play basketball, her head is in the game, she's showing up for her team. And during her free time, she can do whatever she wants when it comes to her music. And I think that's something that really appealed to her.
And so when does Flage's basketball journey begin exactly?
Her older brother received a basketball rack for Christmas. And so they would go outside in the carport and they're watching him shoot. Flage is about 3 at this age, but she would tell Kia, "Mama, put me up." Like, she wanted to play with the ball. The ball is probably bigger than her at this point, but she was watching her older brother and she wanted in, just like she wanted in at her father's birthday party. It's always something catches the eye, she wants to do it. So it started there, and Kia was just trying to find ways around when she was like 4 years old to just channel that energy that she had. She's always been a very energetic child. So she tried ballet, and Flage was at the recital looking pretty, hair done, everything, her costume. And just crying because she hated it. She wanted to play basketball, and she made that very clear. So Kia's just like, okay, we don't have a team for 4-year-olds. What do we do? She spoke to a coach, and he's like, you know, let her play with the boys. This is something that she wants to do. It's something that she can learn from. And they went from there. So Boys and Girls Club, it's her first game. She's looking the part with her headband, which she still wears now, her arm sleeves, her Jordans to match her blue jersey, and they tip off and she doesn't even know which way to run. So she just wanted to be out there. She's like, "Mom, which way do I go?"
First memory of basketball, I'm at the Frank Callen Boys and Girls Club. I got my J's on, I got my arm sleeves on, got my headband on, been playing with all boys. And we had the jump ball. And I'm like, "Mom, I don't know which way to go, which way I go?" They tip it up. And like, all I remember is just like, I was just balling, like I was just hooping. I didn't know which way to go. I think I ran the wrong way. But man, I just had the funnest, the best time of my life.
She was able to bounce back from that. And from then, the game was hers. Just, you know, shooting buckets, what a 4 or 5-year-old could do, she was doing. So the crowd was impressed. She was impressed with the oohs and the ahs of the crowd. And I think that's something that still motivates her today. Just the standing ovations that she gets, whether it's on the court or in her music. She's moving crowds in some type of way.
Playing basketball, I just fell in love with it. I always like when the crowd go like, ooh, like when the ball go in, I was like, that's the sound. I love that.
People are feeling what she's doing and they're letting her know that they appreciate it. And I think that's something that keeps her going as well.
So quickly she masters this skill and she kept going up the ranks, right? And ends up at LSU. Describe her freshman year so far. It's been incredible.
It has. And I think that she's displaying growth throughout this first season. I remember early on, I was at the first game. It was in November against Bellarmine, and she's starting. There's so much hype, and she was so excited to be out there. I was sitting with her family for a portion of the game, and there were times where she was doing really well, but then there were some early turnovers, and there were some spots where there were missed shots, and she sat out for a bit. And just talking to Kia, I'm like, "How do you feel about this?" Because some parents would be upset or some parents would want to see their child on the floor as much as possible. But Kia was like, "Mulkey knows what she's doing. She trusts the coach." She's like, "You know, mistakes will be made. She's a freshman, but she's learning from all of this." And as we saw throughout the season, those mistakes became less and less. She's very proud of being a more defensive player. Now, I think we are seeing that she's developing all around where if she's not shooting, she's rebounding. She's defending a lot more. She's stronger in that area. And other people are taking note of that. SEC Freshman of the Year is not about popularity. It's about what you're doing on the court. And we're not the only ones noticing.
And for Flage, it really came together in a moment in a game just before March Madness, sort of almost like a glimpse at what she really could be capable of. And you got some great stuff from Kim Mulkey. And how did she describe that moment to you?
I think it was just what she had been saying all season. She wants to know if her freshman can defend. Mulkey speaks a lot about challenging Flage and the rest of the freshmen. And she takes that seriously.
Well, Flage gets frustrated at herself. She thinks she needs more shots. She thinks she needs to make more shots. And you teach her that that's just a small part of the game, Flage. We need you to rebound. We need you to defend the older and the better players. And those are things that come with time. There's a maturity point for a freshman to understand. We want to develop your all-around game. We need a defensive stopper. Can you be that for us?
She takes these words very seriously. And I think that's what we're seeing, just Flage rising to the challenge of being a better defender, being there for her team, showing up for her team. And I think that's something that will unfold even more throughout this tournament. It's not always easy just walking on a team and fitting in, but Flage looks like she's been there. And I think that's something fun to witness about the team. And I think they're young, they're just talented, and they can go all the way. I mean, that's pretty bold, but I think that's something that's not too far off. Just the way that if they keep working together the way they've done on the court, I think they, you know, the possibilities are endless.
After the break, the meaning behind the music in Flage Johnson's other career.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Okay, Maya, this is where Flage's story gets truly unique, because she's not just an incredible basketball player. She's also a musician and a rapper. And between you and I, it's just not fair for someone to be that good at two things. But we should talk about the moving story behind how she became a musician, how she was inspired to become a rapper.
Right. Around 8 years old, Flage knew she wanted to rap. Kia, her mother, she didn't tell her much about her father, what happened to him or anything, didn't share much about his career. But once Flage found out, that's something that she wanted to do. And I think as she got older and she started listening to the messages in her father's music and she realized how big he would have been, that's when she started taking it seriously.
the reason that I started. Like, my father's the reason why I started making music. Like, that's the biggest influence for me, because that's the reason I picked up the mic, so I could be, like, more closer to him in a sense. And ever since then, it just snowballed effect into my own thing. So he had the biggest influence, just listening to his music, his cadences, how he rap, how he rhyme. I liked it.
Her father was Jason Camouflage Johnson. He was a rapper. He was really big in Georgia, but even on a national scene, he had started to really blow up and take off. Before he could sign a deal with Universal Records, he was unfortunately murdered in 2003. And for Flage, it was really hard not having her dad, just seeing other people with their fathers, whether it was at games or just out at events.
I don't think I felt my absence until I seen what I didn't have. So, like, I'm just going around and I'm seeing, like, kids with their fathers and stuff like that. As a little kid, I'm like, dang, like, I don't got my dad like that. But as I got older, I feel like it was missing pieces to the puzzles of myself and how I am and who I am. It's just a lot of missing pieces that, you know, I think you need to get from a father.
But she found a way to not only be closer to him through music, but just living his legacy. She wanted to basically finish what he had started and what he wouldn't be able to finish himself.
My father, I really, really, really loved his music. And even as a young girl, not knowing everything, what it meant, it felt good. I think that's the biggest thing. It felt good, like, in my soul. So it just resonated with me. Music is one of them things that could take you by storm. Like, once you get good at something you love, it's like you never want to stop it. And I never wanted to stop. So I just kept going and perfecting my craft. But ever since the start of just hearing my dad's first song, I just fell in love.
So just knowing that she's able to do this for her father, and he was killed before she was even born. So this is someone that she never met, but she's reminded almost every day of how she looks like him, how she acts like him, how her music sounds like his. And that's something that can't be taught.
The sign of a great story, right, is that you go through all the different emotions. And I'm giggling at her sort of hating ballet and then crushing it as a young basketball player. And then as a father of daughters myself, college-age daughters, I'm getting choked up when I'm reading the part of your story about her listening to her dad's songs and recognizing herself in that music. How did she describe that to you?
Yeah, I think just knowing that all she had were, like, pictures and his music to go by and stories from family members, you kind of have to try to piece that person together. And I think that's what she did, just to get a feel of who he was as a person, as a rapper, as a father.
When I hear his voice and his songs, I get chills. Like, and that's how I know I'm, like, on the right track. And, like, I'm destined to be carrying on the torch.
It's reflected in her music, because in a lot of her songs, she talks about not having him, but hoping that she's making him proud. And I think her music is just so unique, because she doesn't curse, because she wants everyone to be able to listen to it, from younger kids to older people. She doesn't want her messages missed. But also the fact that all of her music tells the story of her life.
Life is so crazy, many lessons and blessings. I'm steady stressing perfection. I keep neglecting my ethics. So much text and a message. I'm trying to lessen my stressing. Finally understand my power. My presence is essence. They killed my dad.
My message in my music is empowerment. Just helping people realize that it's more to life and to, like, be in tune with themselves and tell a story.
And so if you listen to her songs, you're hearing the highs and you're hearing the lows. And when you're listening to her music, even if you can't relate to her situations, you kind of relate to your own situations. And it's an experience where you feel what she's saying.
And people resonate with that, because it's real. Regardless of if you broke and you living off nothing, or you rich and you living a life, like, you really gonna resonate with real words and real meaning and real understanding. And that's what I try to put in my music, like, inclusiveness.
You can hear the pain in her voice, or you can hear the joy. And you relate that to your own life. And I think that's why it resonates with so many people. The president of the distribution arm at Roc Nation, he was reminded of Lil Baby, without the cursing. But I just think that she's just a great lyricist and storyteller when it comes to her songs. It's something where if you think of any rapper, who really gets their messages through, like a J. Cole or Tupac was one of her influences. There were rappers who just told these great stories who people really listened to. I think she has the same form and that formula of storytelling that really grips you and stays with you.
The confidence is just, again, it's inspiring. I think in one of her first songs, Ready or Not, she samples the Fugees and it's almost like, yeah. Oh my God.
I'm gonna find you and take it slowly, ready or not, here I come, you can't hide.
And she pulls it off. That's the other thing. It's one thing to sort of like, oh, I'm going to take on the world. I'm going to be bold. I'm going to do this. But man, it works.
It makes statements. And just going back to her performance when she was 8 years old, just thinking about being an 8-year-old, I was afraid of my own shadow. I didn't want to speak to people. I didn't want to go out there. But the way she had the crowd at her father's birthday party, it was just like she was born to do this. Like the nerves weren't there. She's a natural at what she does. So it's no surprise that you'll take a sample like that and turn it into like a masterpiece. That's a really great one. And I think that one sticks with a lot of people as well.
So Maya, once Flage discovers this passion for music, her career kind of takes off pretty quickly. She appears on, let's see, the Rap Game on Lifetime, and then America's Got Talent, and a show aptly called Raising an Effing Star. That's my personal favorite. Ultimately, though, she ends up signing with Jay-Z's Roc Nation. But she's not done yet. Not even close, right?
She has a distribution deal with Roc Nation, which means they have the rights to put her music out on different streaming platforms. But she still owns like the rights, her masters and everything. But she'll have an EP coming out in April, Best of Both Worlds. So she's excited for that. And I think what will happen is when she's not like heavily involved with basketball during the off season, they'll be taking her and creating some more music. So she'll still be balancing. She'll still have basketball, but she'll also have a little bit more freedom during the off season to be able to make more music.
We've talked about basketball. We've talked about music. But one of the things that really came through in your piece is the third element to her success is she freaking works hard. I mean, she is up at 5. Just, were you blown away by her work ethic as a 19-year-old?
I was, because most 19-year-olds are, especially in college, we were trying to sleep until our first class. We didn't want to be up. But she's getting up at 5. She's praying. She's meditating. Like, she has a system in starting her day in a really calm manner. And usually that sets the tone for the rest of your day. So she's in the gym before class, shooting 1,000 shots with the shooting machine. She's going to class, then she's going to practice, and she's recovering. She has weight training, and then she's going to study hall. And if there is time for music, she's doing that as well until it's time to go to bed. So it's just like a full day every day.
I just want to be the best, honestly. I feel like I'm motivated by the regret of not giving 100% and not being able to determine my own outcome and letting distractions determine my outcome when I can't determine my outcome in the long run. So I think that's like, that fear keep me motivated.
On the other side of that, she was thinking about her companies and businesses, what she wants to gross in the years. So she has those goals set.
When it's all said and done, I'm going to be a mogul and a CEO and Fortune 500 company. Man, I'm just going to do it big, I'm telling you. But I really want to just take it to places where nobody could see. But I have the vision, and I'm not going to stop. Like, I'm going to do so many different things.
Between her big four brand, Flage being a brand, is something that she's really passionate about. Whether she's doing music or on the court, these are priorities to her. Just becoming that brand. And I think that's super smart, because if she's a brand herself, she's a walking brand, it doesn't matter what she's doing, that'll always follow her. So basically, I think her message is that just don't limit her. Don't put her in a box. We don't know which way her career is going to go. We don't know if she wants to stick to basketball. We don't know if she wants to stick to music. That's something that's for her to decide, like, way down the line. But I think for her, what she's setting herself up for is just being the brand that people follow, people know. And whatever she does in the future, success will be there.
What does she win first? What does Flaje Johnson win first? Does she win a basketball title or a Grammy?
I personally want to see that Grammy come. And I think that she's capable of doing both. But with a Grammy, I think it would mean so much because she is finishing what her father started.
I think about my dad every day. Sometimes, really, I just use it as motivation. Some days I'm like, dang, like, I wish he could see this, what I'm doing. But I think about my dad every day. Just about, I know you're proud of me, but I just wish he could see what I'm doing.
So winning a Grammy, I think that would be insane. Winning a title, that would be insane. Doing both, that would be crazy. But I'm excited. I hope to see her do both.
Yeah, I mean, if there's anything we've learned through you about Flaje Johnson is both. She's going to win both.
Exactly.
Thanks for sort of introducing us to this amazing, amazing young woman and future icon, or probably current icon. And on top of that, I look super cool in front of my teenage daughters because I know Flaje Johnson. So thank you, Maya.
Thank you for having me, and thanks for reading and sharing.
For more on Flaje Johnson, you can check out Maya Jones' piece on ESPN.com, as well as the Outside the Lines feature, available on YouTube right now. I'm David Fleming. This has been ESPN Daily. Our show is produced by Bradford Craig, Alexander Hyacinth, Mike Johns, Heather Lombardo, Ryan Nantel, Michael Philbrick, Andre Soto, Andy Tennant, Chris Tuminello, and Aaron Vail. Special thanks this week to Deontay Epps, Kendall Majette, and Jackson Ugelo. We'll talk to you Monday.